Daniel Rossi Keen is another voice from our Good River series. He's been a professor of rhetoric, a bookstore owner in Aliquippa, and currently he's executive director of Riverwise, a new nonprofit.
Really, we're trying to figure out how best to manage this crazy season of change that is coming upon us throughout Beaver County.
The ethane cracker is looming large there, and Rossi Keen joined me in the studio to talk about how he and his organization are approaching this new phase of development.
Thanks for talking with me today.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay, Riverwise. Talk about the genesis of the organization and what those two words together stand for.
Yeah. So Riverwise, you know, in one sense, it's been kind of in the cards for a number of years as I've been paying attention to what's going on in Beaver County. Increasingly, it became apparent to me that there's so many beautiful things happening throughout our region, but they were not really well aligned. They weren't working super well together. We've spent a long time kind of hunkered down and in this mode of managing decline. And as, you know, regional and economic changes started coming our way more and more every day, it became apparent that we needed to think more strategically about how we were aligning our resources. And so we started to think and strategize about the opportunities that were around us. And one of the things that kept coming up again and again and again was this idea that there are these rivers here, and they're beautiful, and they're a central part of our identity. And it seemed like we weren't really utilizing those to their fullest capacity. And so we sat and thought and talked, and we thought, you know, what would it look like to steward that resource in a thoughtful, creative, a wise sort of way? And we coined this title, River Wise. We're still trying to figure out exactly what it means, but that's part of the process of building and growing the organization.
Who's we?
Well, I mean, if you look at our payroll, we is me and a couple halftime folks who are cobbling this thing together, much like an early stage entrepreneurial endeavor. If you look at us from a community standpoint, in the last year and a half, we've managed to work with somewhere around 300 people throughout the community. I think at last count, roughly 70 different organizations. These are nonprofits, church organizations, civic organizations, you know, interested citizens. And it's really this coalition, this growing coalition of folks who know that exciting things are happening in our region, but haven't really figured out how to steward that or to shepherd that well. And so, yeah, it's a ragtag bunch, a network, a growing coalition of folks who see things similarly.
So I learned about your organization because of a position paper that you released in response to Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto's comments against additional petrochemical plants in the region beyond the Shell plant that's already being built in Beaver County. And in the paper, you're saying that we're only hearing two very divided opinions on the petrochemical industry.
That's right.
Either you are for the industry because of the economy or you're against it because of the environment and health. But in the paper, you're saying the reality of the situation is more complex than that, that leaders and residents have to embrace the complexity. What do you mean by that?
I think we live in a culture that wants to put things in one camp or the other. That's easy. That's quick. That allows us to take a stance. And in some ways, I think it gives us license to turn our brains off and say that we've decided about that. But it's just insufficient for the realities that we're facing in Beaver County. I mean, the debate, I guess, that was sparked by Peduto's comments, was pretty predictable. You're pitting the environment against the economy, and it just doesn't work out that simply in the life of a community. You know, these are complicated situations. There's jobs tied to them. There's history tied to them. There's identity tied to them. And we've got to dig more deeply into those issues and get beyond either for or against if we're to really do the hard work of developing healthy and creative community together.
So what does that look like?
I think it looks like a lot of talking. I think it looks like a lot of listening, being willing to retreat and try again. You know, it's a community engagement process. It's, I think, getting beyond a quick jab on social media and really sitting down with folks who have different and legitimate interests more concretely, because I see you looking at me like you want to hear more. we're starting to articulate as a community the things that we value, the things that we want to see embodied in our community. So that means getting things down on paper and really starting to say, here's what we here's what we want, and here's what we hope for. But it also looks like some concrete things like making and building things together. You know, so we're involved in a number of sustainable building projects, green building projects. We're getting ready to launch a year-long campaign, a green building challenge. You know, these are opportunities for residents to learn together by going through a process that forces them out of a binary decision for or against, and really requires that they stand in community with folks and work through some of these challenging clashes of identity that have been built up around these issues.
You're talking about green building projects, and I'll ask you a little bit to be a little more specific about what you mean, but is that in addition to petrochemical development or instead of petrochemical development?
In the very short term, you know, we want to be a creative force for alternatives. We want to be able to pitch a narrative for our region that shows that there are other kinds of things that can be happening. And of course, that's going to happen alongside of petrochemicals. I mean, we're not talking about things that are just going to, you know, fold up shop and go away tomorrow because we said so. We're really trying to think of ourselves as sort of a counterbalance, as an alternative narrative to some of the things that have taken hold in our region. And so I want my children, I want school kids, I want young adults, I want, you know, folks my age and older to start thinking about what could be possible in our region. I think in a lot of ways, the challenge of leadership in the next several decades in a place like Beaver County is it's really a challenge for the imagination of the region. You know, we need to start to think in terms that that mirror what's possible, not just what's in front of us. And so that's the idea of the global green design challenge. But there's another piece of it, which I think is really important. It's not a Beaver County thing. It's a global challenge, right? And I'm trying to make in a very direct way this connection between whatever's happening in Beaver County and a broader set of global issues that are facing humankind. I know there's a lot of charged language and responses and emotions around these things, and I think many of them are deserved and some of them aren't. But we are very clearly sort of speeding toward a time where we have to make some really hard decisions as people.
Are you talking about climate change?
I am, yeah.
Let's just say it.
Yeah, there's that elephant. Yeah, I'm talking about climate change. And I think that I want the way we talk about Beaver County to be associated with that challenge. That's dangerous, right? And I'm going to catch more heat. I've already caught some heat for that. But I think that if the story of Western Pennsylvania unfolds the way that it's being talked about, you know, there are going to be lots of these opportunities for these kinds of conversations.
So talk about this green design challenge. What kinds of projects are you talking about? I know they haven't been proposed yet, but what kinds of things?
Okay. So we have three sites. We've formed these things called eco-districts, which might be a conversation for another day. But
they're built around sustainability, right? Ideas of sustainability.
Like you see in Sharpsburg, Millvale, and Etna, outside of Pittsburgh, we formed similar communities. So in Beaver Falls, there's an old News Tribune building that is owned by the Community Development Corporation of Beaver Falls. Outside of that, there's a street that the city has agreed to shut down. And taking those two pieces of infrastructure together, we want to turn that old building and that parklet into sort of an eco-village. In Monaca, we have a riverfront park. Just adjacent to that is a water treatment facility and a water pump house. We want to combine those three pieces of infrastructure, slap a DC microgrid on there that will allow them to create their own electricity and turn it into a sort of 22nd century eco parklet at the confluence of our two main rivers in Beaver County. And then in Aliquippa, we have a park that's been under development for a decade or so. It's five or six adjoining parcels next to a prominent coffee shop and courtyard. We're going to put those all together, try and get an open air market in there, turn the park into, again, another exemplar of what sort of an ecological enclave could look like in 21st century Beaver County. And so those will go out for designers to take a look at and to dream about.
Well, we will check in on your progress. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. It's an honor for us, and I appreciate it very much.
Daniel Rossi Keene is Executive Director of Riverwise. There's a link to that position paper we were talking about at our website, AlleghenyFront.org.